Podcast. It's me, Nick Martinez.
And me, Chris Stalen.
And we are talking to Max Mariner from the film department. We touch on a couple things. I thought it was a pretty decent conversation.
Solid interview.
Yeah. So here's Max. He's talking a little bit about what got him into filmmaking, some of his favorite filmmakers of the day, and moving out of the screen. So let's give it a listen. Max Mariner. Okay, this is the Spotcast. We're here with Max Mariner. Max, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Max Mariner. I'm a junior here at SFUAD, and I run Movie Night at the Screen.
All right, so so you've been here for a couple years now. So what originally brought you to SFUAD?
It's kind of a really simple story. My crazy college advisor, she brought up the program to me. She brought up the film program. She heard it was really good. She told me that the school had just closed down and then reopened as SFUAD. So I gave it a shot, went to an open house, and yeah, I was pretty convinced. So that brought me here, honestly.
Okay. So, I mean, you came here for film, but I guess, were you always into film? What kind of got you into film in the first place?
Yes, I've always been into film, always been into filmmaking. I actually don't remember what it was that got me into filmmaking, but I've always just been, you know, watching movies, getting an idea of how they work, and yeah, just from the get-go, always about filmmaking. I wish I could give you a definitive answer as to where it came from, but I honestly don't have one.
Okay. Do you have a film, I guess, that you remember as kind of, I guess, maybe the keystone influencing your work, or something that you just kind of jumped off from?
That's a good question. I don't really think so, though. I mean, there are always, like, movies that, like, get me hyped to go, you know, work on films, go direct, go write, go do something. And I would say, let's see. I would honestly say, well, the first movie I ever watched in a theater was Hercules.
Hercules?
Yeah.
Disney Hercules?
Yes, Disney's Hercules. Okay. Yeah, that was the first movie I ever watched in a theater. And I mean, that gave me a pretty good idea of how this industry works, obviously, because it was all live action and totally real effects and...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is like...
No, it was the anime when I was trying to...
The anime, okay.
Yeah, but it was totally real, totally.
Okay.
No, I guess there isn't like one in particular, but just every movie I went to go see as a kid like always kind of like convinced me that, yeah, this is the field I want to kind of go into.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so film is such a broad subject. I mean, you can do so many things throughout it. Is your focus more in writing, directing, cinematography...
What the hell was that?
Turn that off.
Oh, boy.
Silence your phones!
Yeah. All right, we're going to retry that. So, I mean, there's so many broad things you can do with film. Is it more writing, directing, cinematography?
Mine is the most generic of film student dreams, which is directing. I do focus on directing. I like writing. I like editing. I try to focus my area in all areas just to, you know, make myself the most viable candidate for a film production.
Yeah.
But yeah, directing is most certainly my focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very cliche. It's very, you know, everybody does it, but hey, it's, you know, stick to it.
Yeah, you want
to
control your vision. Is that the thing that you want to, you have a vision for something and you want to make it in your own, or what stems the directing?
I enjoy, as a director, I've always tried to get everyone's vision out there, like the DPs or the, you know, even the sound designers, the editors. You know, I've usually worked on my own projects, but when I get the chance, I like to, you know, have other people like have their visions shown. I enjoy being a leader, and I enjoy, you know, it's not so much my vision as it is just like I think I have the ability to convey like my vision into other people's visions as well, and create a very collaborative project, because, you know, film is a collaborative medium.
Yeah. Do you have a director right now that you kind of feel like does that, or you feel like you want to emulate?
Let's see. Well, I love David Fincher. I love David Fincher. Yeah. David Fincher is one of my favorite directors.
How do you feel about Gone Girl?
I'm excited. Yeah. This is like a classic David Fincher mystery kind of thing. I'm super excited. Yeah. Other than that, though, I also love I like Robert Zemeckis. His stuff, you know, Back to the Future is my favorite film, but his movies are very much like, I very much kind of encapsulate, like, the magic of movies, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, if we're talking about, like, pure cinema than definitely Robert Zemeckis. Okay. Not one of my favorites, but he just represents that area.
Yeah.
And then
kind of the fun. Yeah, like the joy of watching a movie.
That's a good that's a good way to put it. And David Fincher is just like, you know, like tell compelling stories. You know, The Social Network is just a bunch of people talking.
Yeah.
And it totally you know, sucks you in, and you know, even so.
Do you have a favorite David Fincher movie?
It's The Social Network, honestly. Social Network? Yeah. Fight Club's really close, but The Social Network just, I watch it every time I learn something new. I take something away from it. Like Aaron Sorkin's screenplay, the performances, the lighting is incredible.
Yeah.
It's just a very, like, it's an excellent movie. Probably my favorite movie. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay. Would you say that you have a critic's eye when you watch movies? My dad always gets on me and saying I'm such a snob and that I can't enjoy a movie anymore because I have to break it down into its individual parts. Do you have a similar... I mean, I don't think I actually have that, but do you have what my dad thinks is the critic's eye that you can't enjoy anything anymore? You just have to nitpick at it?
Yes, I do believe I have a critic's eye. In fact, I've been working on, you know, movie, like, reviews, on video reviews with my friends on a website that I run, rulethirds.com. Okay. I started writing reviews for my high school newspaper, the Los Alamos page, and then just, like, from there, I just kind of always had a critic's eye. I try my best to not, like, you know, separate myself from the movie-going experience, but, I mean, it's difficult, you know.
Yeah.
Very much, you know, if you want to have a critic's eye, you kind of got to put away the whole, like, movie-going experience.
Yeah. Okay, tell us a little bit about Rule Thirds. So what kind of work have you done with that? You know, what are you doing?
Rule Thirds is a video website / a YouTube channel where two of my buddies and I, we make videos about film culture. We got like a trailer analysis show. We have video reviews of the newest movies to come out. We got like, look backs at famous movie stars and directors and whatnot. We have a lot of different shows. I've worked as, I work on our podcast, Cinema Talk. I've worked on pretty much any facet of the website, written reviews and whatnot. I had my own web series that was more about analyzing a screenplay. Unfortunately, I've only been able to get out one episode of it, but...
What screenplay did you cover?
The screenplay to Her, Spike Jonze's Her.
I haven't seen that yet. How was that?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great movie. But that right now we're actually kind of on a hiatus because we all got really busy and stuff. Like we're actually all sitting out in different places. Like my buddy Sean, he's in Bozeman, Montana, and then my buddy Larry, he's all the way in New Jersey. So we just communicate through Skype and whatnot. I'm pretty proud that we've been able to make so much content. You know, even with our limited experience and whatnot. But yeah, it's rulethirds.com. It's a good website. It's a good website.
Cool. I guess switching gears here, what are some of your top movies of this past summer?
This past summer had a really, gamut of very interesting movies, very, like, interesting chances. Easily, I'd say, from a summer perspective, my absolute favorite movie of the summer was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes! Yeah. That was a great movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
It was, it's, like, an amazing character drama. Yeah. It's a great action flick. You know, I think the best way to summarize it was, there was a point in the movie where you see apes riding horses with machine guns, and it totally didn't feel like, man, this is just too weird or whatever. Yeah. I totally bought it, you know?
An entire theater is just sitting there watching monkeys on a horse with a machine gun, and they're just like, yes, this is a very dramatic movie.
Exactly. It's not crazy. It's not like, oh, this is just too ridiculous for me. It's like, it totally, you know, in the context of the film, it works very well. I'd also say Edge of Tomorrow was another very good contender.
Edge of Tomorrow, I never got a chance. That's the Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They're actually trying to change the name in the movie's marketing. Now it's Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really good movie. Lots of like nice time travel, and it's actually an interesting deconstruction of how Tom Cruise like usually approaches action movies. Like he's usually the guy who's like, oh, I know how to do all this stuff. I know how to get in charge. This is basically what happens. Like, how that process begins, how he's, like, he doesn't know what he's doing, and then, like, he keeps doing it over and over. You could easily argue the movie is about filmmaking.
Okay,
and then I'd say one more.
Inception in that way?
Yes, actually. My buddy Sean, like, says it a lot, you know, Inception is also about filmmaking. I also say that 22 Jump Street was also a... 22 just,
Jump Street,
absolutely hilarious. I cannot wait to show that at movie night, because it's, you know, it's about them going to college, and there are a few hits at art college, and, it's hilarious romp, totally. That would be my top three movies of the summer.
Okay, do you have a, because you run movie night at the screen, you just showed Amazing Spider-Man 2, Next week is going to be not this Friday, but the Friday after that is going to be Godzilla.
Yes, next Thursday is going to be Godzilla.
Okay. Do you have a dream movie that you can't wait to show this on the screen?
Like I said, 22 Jump Street, absolutely. 22 Jump Street. Honestly, like I always enjoy showing any movie, but yeah, I would say honestly, 22 Jump Street. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I also enjoy finding ways, basically using it as an excuse to go, watch movies I hadn't seen. Like, we're going to show Neighbors in a few weeks.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
I'm going to show How to Train Your Dragon 2, which I didn't see over the summer. Cool. So, I always enjoy I look forward to watching movies that I hadn't seen in the theaters mm-hmm. that I can now watch in the screen, which arguably is better than your average movie, movie theater.
What is the most annoying part about running the movie night of the screen?
People just keep talking. Yeah. Like, seriously. Listen, there's nothing wrong with, laughing in a movie, or maybe, quick little chatter every now and then, but people just have conversations, sometimes at normal volume.
Uh-huh.
Like, as if, I tell the movie night audiences, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna be walking around, I'm gonna be having my ears open. It's always the S's. If I hear an S, if somebody, says something with an S, I'm gonna hear it.
Yeah.
It's just, the loudest whisper, it's the loudest noise you can make with a whisper.
It carries.
So, just people just keep talking, and I explain this to them. Mm-hmm. Every night I'm like, "Hey, don't talk during the movie." So, and they still do it. I have to the trick is to not shush them. Just because it's that's loud, Just basically all I have to do is just tap them on the shoulder and just look at them with a face of what you're doing is wrong and you should stop. And they usually stop. It's usually effective. But seriously, people just keep on talking.
Yeah, there are always two different types of talkers in a movie. There's the people who are just carrying on a conversation that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, really.
And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? We're trying to watch a fucking movie. Why are you talking right now? And then the other people are the Mystery Science Theater wannabes who are trying to comment on the movie, is possibly even worse, more annoying.
I'll be honest. One of the reasons why I'm such a stickler about movie night, about talking during the movies, because in my first semester here at SFUAD, I was shown a movie called Night of the Hunter at Intro to MOV. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like it. I think it's terrible, personally. Myself and a friend of mine,
Night of the Hunter, that's the one with the tattoos on the knuckles,
Love and Hate. Yes, okay, that guy. Yeah, all right. I decided, I don't know what it was, but I decided to pull my own little Mystery Science Theater 3000 on it, and it got to the point where it pissed everybody off, to the point where my professor, Peter Grendel, who is actually kind of my boss now, basically indirectly called me out for talking during the movie in front of the whole class. Yeah, it was, I felt really bad, and I didn't want that to happen to anybody else, so that's why I'm such a stickler about it, because I tried to pull my own Mystery Science Theater 3000, and it didn't really work.
Yeah, you just have this traumatic experience in your past that's just conquering your thought now.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you working on now? Are there any projects, any movies that you're working on right now?
Yes, right now I'm working on Shoot the Stars Season 3.
Which one are you on?
I'm working on the Disposables, which is the action comedy that's based on the Enter the Dojo YouTube series. Mm-hmm. I just got picked up a second assistant director.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a really fun time. I'm looking forward to working with Matt Page and Peter Crowder, the director. He and I have worked together on a lot of stuff. I'm actually going to be showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show Shadowcast. Movie Night will be hosting that, which he's in charge of. So, we've worked together in the past. I'm really looking forward to that. Also, some interest in directing stuff and, other opportunities as an AD and whatnot in different films, whether they're in class or out of class.
Yeah.
So, a lot of stuff. My own projects are sort of taking a backseat to my AD work, I suppose. Still a lot going on.
Okay. So, I've never personally gone to Rocky Horror Picture Show, any of the showings. I guess I have my reasons for it. Convince me, why should me, who have never seen the movie, and I guess I'm awkward amongst that sort of pageantry, why should I go?
Well, the thing is about the Rocky Horror Picture Show Shadowcast here at SFUED is that it's not as in your face, it's sort of a cleaner version, because, it's the screen, and you don't want to, have too much stuff, but, it's not too overbearing. It's okay. You get the shadow cast on the screen. If you want to, the entire time you can just look up and watch the movie if you want to, even though you shouldn't.
Is it worth watching the movie?
Yeah, the movie. Oh yeah, the movie's a lot of fun. It's kind of a mess, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But the best part about it are all the hardworking actors and or shadow actors and shadow actresses, I guess, who are working on stuff. And it gets crazy after a while. It gets crazy to the point where it should be a little bit too much, but it's not.
Okay.
It's like, if you were to go to like maybe like a screening in like Albuquerque, like you know, it would be like orgies everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it'd be too much. Here, it's a lot more clean. It's a lot more cool down. I was actually I was in the first shadow cast ever here. You know, I was the criminologist, the most the least sexual character in the entire thing. So yeah, from that experience, yeah, it's totally worth it. Yeah, I think you should go check it out. It's just like a nice little experience, and yeah, you know, all the hardworking folk behind it really, really deserve everyone's attention. You know, if you ever, yeah, it's October 30th. I know it's October 30th, so it's gonna be a good time. Yeah,
cool.
Don't go on acid.
Yeah, don't do drugs at the screen. We will all get kicked out, and all movie clubs will be canceled forever.
Now, is it don't physically do drugs at the scene, like at the time?
Yeah.
Or is it don't show up?
Well, all right. I've never been a huge fan of the idea that you should watch a movie while you're high or intoxicated or whatever. I mean, if you want to do that, go for it, whatever. But you should not.
Have you ever seen Pineapple Express?
No, I haven't. I know that's like the ultimate stoner movie. Yeah.
It's not the ultimate stoner movie, but it's a stoner movie.
Yeah.
It'll do the job.
Hold on. Wait. What do you think the ultimate stoner movie would be?
What would the ultimate stoner movie?
Half-Baked?
Half-Baked is a good choice.
You mean the
one with Ice Cube or whatever?
Yeah, Ice Cube. Next Friday is a good choice too, because I like what's his name, Omar Epps, more than Chris Tucker. But moving on from stoner movies.
Like,
Okay.
All right. Well, no. You should not do drugs at the screen. Apparently, that happened last semester. We got the movie club shut down for a good month. But I'm sure if it happens again, we will get shut down forever. So don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah. All right, so you're a junior now, right?
Yes.
What do you hope to do? I mean, are you starting to think about what you're doing after you graduate?
Yeah. I've had a very simple, very kind of bare bones plan as to what I'm doing after I graduate.
Okay, that's more than a lot of people. What is it?
I'm going straight to LA and jumping right into the workforce. I'm gonna start working as a PA or a production assistant or whatever. I gotta climb up the ranks. You know, keep building my resume. I hope by the time I leave SFUAD, I will have a good enough resume to start immediately working on feature film productions, even as just a production assistant. And by the way, production assistants are totally great, but you know they are at the bottom of the food chain.
So
it's very likely that I will crash and I will burn, but I will not be able to forgive myself if I don't take off to LA and, like, you know, just jump into this industry head first.
Yeah, understandable. Yeah, I know a lot of people who are heading out to LA after they graduate. I don't think I'm courageous enough to make that jump.
Where are you going?
Where am I going? I don't know. Fuck if I know, man.
Back to mommy's house.
Back to Bradley's mom's house.
Bradley's mom is a Luker. I just wanna put that out there to the podcast faithful that Bradley's mom is a Luker. So I will be going over there after I graduate. All right, next question.
My mother is a saint.
Next question. Okay, moving over to the speed round, dipshit questions. Let's start with who shot first.
Han? Yeah. Well, I mean, technically it was the blaster that shot, but you know, it was Han's blaster that shot first. Yeah.
Are you on board with George Lucas's changes to the original trilogy?
If I'm going to be honest, I know a lot of people have problems with George Lucas. I personally respect him a lot, considering the whole special editions thing, it can get a little bit crazy, but I grew up on the 2004 special editions.
Really?
Like,
you didn't have the original VHS?
No, I never did. I actually didn't watch the Star Wars trilogy until I was like 10 or 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I went a whole decade without knowing like any of the references that all my friends at school would give me. But like,
I mean,
I enjoy them. I don't mind them. I mean, I think, you know, it is good to have the original versions out there and easily available. But I mean, if they want to make changes, they want to make changes. I think what really matters is that you just get the original version out there so that people can experience it that way. And if they want to experience the special editions too, that's cool too. I mean, you know, it's just give them a choice instead of always just like putting the special edition always in front of everything else.
Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to be before they redo the special editions though?
Like you mean do another redo of the special edition?
Yeah, because CGI in the first special edition
was pretty awful.
Kicking themselves nowadays, going, damn it, if we had waited just 10 years.
Well, considering that now Disney owns the rights to Star Wars and all that, it doesn't really make sense that they wouldn't just release a Blu-ray edition of the original cut.
Yeah.
Like, it just
that
seems...
That would sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, it doesn't make sense to me, especially considering the only DVD, the available original edition, which I guess it makes, the first edition of DVDs, like, on a super small screen. I remember doing, like, movie night, I think it was, like, a year or two ago, we watched the original Star Wars, and we had to zoom in the projector so much because the aspect ratio was so small.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just, I think it could, I think, give it, like, at least, I'm hoping that it's within the year, before Episode 7 comes out, that we get a Blu-ray trilogy of the original trilogy in Blu-ray, but, like, with the original edition. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Give it a year.
So that's kind of interesting to me that you didn't watch the original trilogy until you were 10 years old. Because I feel like with a lot of, I guess, young boys, their first introduction into pop culture is kind of through Star Wars. That's kind of their first experience with everything.
Star Wars or Star Trek. No, man, there's battles between the two.
Oh, yeah.
Trekkies versus Star Wars fans. Yeah. No,
I'll pick on some Star Trek nerds. I'll do that.
Hey, man. But,
yeah.
I know some nerds.
Yeah. So for me, it was Star Wars. That was my introduction. You said earlier you didn't remember what movie got you into filmmaking, but do you remember your kind of first introduction to pop culture?
My first introduction to pop culture. Honestly, let me think. That's a good question. Honestly, my first exposure to pop culture would be all the references I saw in a bunch of the Cartoon Network cartoons that I watched growing up.
Okay.
The Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Laboratory. I look back, there were a lot of references that I kind of got.
Yeah.
Like, there's even a South Park reference in the Powerpuff Girls cartoon. And I believe the main character, one of the girls, Blossom, she comes out of this pile of clothing and she's wearing Cartman's sweater and everything. And I immediately got that as, like, that was, you know. So I guess that's my first exposure to pop culture was through all the little references that Cartoon Network threw in. Also Nickelodeon, obviously. But yeah, cartoons was my introduction to pop culture.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, next question. Marry, fuck, kill. This is a favorite game of this podcast.
Oh, boy.
This is Star Wars edition, just because we're nerding it out here.
All right.
So we have the Rancor, the Sarlacc, and Salacious B. Crumb.
I would like to ask who Salacious B. Crumb is first.
Salacious B. Crumb, I had to look this up. I'm not this big of a nerd. But so, I had to look this up. It is Jabba the Hutt's little weird Muppet dude who sits next to him.
Oh,
and
God.
Yeah.
He has a name?
And Return of the Jedi, yeah. I had to look it up, and apparently his name is Salacious B. Crumb.
Okay. So I'll marry that guy because he'll be funny. Like, he'll laugh at all my jokes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I feel like the Sarlacc would be a better commitment.
It
takes 900 years to digest.
It never wants to leave the house.
Right,
it just hangs out all the time.
All we do is sit in your stomach waiting.
Exactly. You can't go out to dinner. You can't take the Sarlacc to the movies.
Yeah, that's true. Probably kill the Rancor. And then
you get to kill a Rancor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to kill a Rancor.
Only
yeah.
Luke Skywalker
whoa,
and
whoa.
You have done that. At
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, hold
yeah.
on. You can kill a Rancor or you can fuck a Rancor. What's cooler? Like, I'm just saying, like, if I'm at a bar or something, I'm just like,
yeah,
fuck
so
the Rancor.
I mean, at your estimation, then, that means you're fucking the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
Which means you're sticking your dick in that.
For 900 years, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if I'm going to go in some way, I might as well have a funny story to go with it.
That's marriage, I guess. Sticking your dick in something for 900 years.
Oh, boy.
Okay, moving on with this podcast. Now, next question is the, what is your favorite trope or cliche?
This is a really good question. I guess this is a cliche. I really like when we have, like, at the very last shot of a movie, and maybe it's, like, an onlook of, like, something big, like, maybe the characters are looking at, like, a large expansion, like, they're looking at, like, maybe they're going into the sun, and we hear this huge, like, you know, orchestral finale. I love closure. I love closure in that, and I love finales.
Mm-hmm.
Just that is just, like, you know, it's super cliche, but it gets my, like, you know, it feels good to just see that. Like, it's just like a huge wide shot of, like, a forest or the sun in the background as the cowboy, like, you know, gallops away. It's like, just that kind of thing. It's nice, and it's, again, it's very predictable, very cliche, but it feels good.
Yeah.
You ever seen Sunshine?
No, I haven't, no.
You'd like that ending.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess piggybacking off of that, are you? Do you watch a lot of TV?
I binge. I'm a modern television watcher. I just binge through Community. Okay. So yeah.
Community. Have you watched like say The Sopranos or Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad, yes.
Breaking Bad. How did you feel about the Breaking Bad finale?
Excellent.
Excellent?
Yes, excellent. Yeah. I think it wrapped up everything nicely. I don't know why so many people are asking for, like, a sixth season when there's... Mm-hmm. I mean, without to give away any spoilers, everything gets wrapped up. Up nicely.
And I'm going to give away a spoiler now, because if you haven't seen it...
Spoiler
you
alert.
You definitely see it.
Yeah.
Walt dies, mm-hmm. obviously, because, I mean, that's where the series was
awesome
going.
Awesome Badfinger song.
Yes! Oh, Baby Blue!
Yeah.
Yes, that was... I'm in complete agreement with you, by the way. I thought that was the one of the most perfect, stupid saying, but it's one of the most perfect endings that you could get. I thought it stuck the landing completely. I thought it hit every single narrative thread on the head.
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, it just, that last shot, man, just like, just slowly moving out. It's like, that's it, man. That's the end. Like, we just went through like a 5-season adventure with this guy, and that's it. Like, you know, the song says he got what he deserved, but like still it was, you know, it was a really nice way to wrap everything up. And, you know, considering how awesome like his vengeance was with that, like, you know, I guess turret or whatever, I think that was like brilliant. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd say, you know, it just felt right. Just end it in a very like, on like a near perfect note. Yeah.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad's finale is like, should be a role model to all like future incoming TV shows. Just that's how you end a fucking show.
Yes. I am in complete agreement with that. Next question. This is the Squadcast Pop Culture Trash Edition. Jerry Bruckheimer or Michael Bay?
Michael Bay. Easily. Michael Bay? Michael Bay is... Okay. Michael. Listen, if Michael... You know, Michael Bay, he directs some bad movies. Some very bad movies. And, you know, people jump on this bandwagon all the time. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen really is that horrible. But... at least they're, like, interestingly horrible. Jerry Bruckheimer's films are so fucking bland and so, like, lifeless. It's like, dude, get, like, have some fun with it. Jeez, I mean, if you guys saw Transformers Age of Extinction, I don't, like, as a critic, I was completely confused. I had no way to, like, judge the movie, but it was very much a thing of its own. Like, it's, you know, I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but, like, it just was, I don't think it was bad or good or mediocre or any. It was just a movie. And it, like, just kind of reveled in itself.
Yeah.
And I would prefer that over something so bland as, like, fucking all the Pirates of the Caribbean films, like, the first one. Like,
like
yeah.
The
is,
first
is,
one? Were you not?
No, except the first one. Yeah, the first one was good.
Okay, yeah.
That was Bruckheimer, right? Am I right?
Yeah,
okay, good. Yeah,
yeah,
I'll make sure.
Bruckheimer. He also did the National Treasure movies.
Which... okay. Okay.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. Okay, I like the premise and I like Nick Cage's performance, but those movies bland.
Yeah.
Take, you know, it's kind of trying to be like the modern Indiana Jones, and like, yeah, it's just Jerry Bruckheimer. No, Michael Bay, totally, because at least Michael Bay did stuff that's like interesting and worth talking about.
Explosions.
Do you have a favorite movie from those directors?
From Michael Bay, I'm gonna be honest. I love the first Transformers. It was like one of the first movies that actually got me interested in the behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
Like I found out that like. What is it that, like, I believe Optimus Prime was made of, like, I believe something around, like, 50 or 100,000 different digital parts. I thought that was so interesting. And it was the first movie I ever learned, like, the budget was. It was about $200 million. Like, I love that movie. I have it on DVD. I have no shame in saying that I love the first movie. It's stupid,
okay. Yeah.
But it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the same for the other ones, but, like, you know, it's, yeah, I love that movie. And I still do. I have no shame in saying that.
Jerry Bruckheimer?
I guess, I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl wasn't terrible, so I guess that one.
Did you ever see Pain and Gain?
No, I didn't, and I was really interested in that, because apparently it felt very much like a return to form for Michael Bay. That was apparently the movie that, like, why he did the first three Transformers movies, so that he could do that movie, so.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. I'm not sure if it was a return to form, because I honestly don't know what fucking form that Michael Bay has,
mm-hmm.
but, him working with a low budget, he was definitely... I mean, it was the funniest movie he's ever done. Every one of his movies, I mean, be it Transformers or Armageddon.
Or The Rock.
Or The Rock. Yeah, there's a little bit of humor in there.
Yeah.
It's definitely his funniest movie. Okay, moving on. Do you have a favorite working director right now?
working director right now. Oh man, this is gonna sound so cliche because it's a thing that like a lot of people on the internet say. But Phil Lord and Chris Miller, these guys, oh my god, these guys get comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. I love what these guys do. I love how they do it. I love, you know, how they address, you know, how they make movies that are kind of about movies.
Yeah.
You know, 21 and 22 Jump Street, most certainly the Lego movie was a movie about itself. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was very much about, like, adaptations of children's books and how it basically went in a completely different direction. I love Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and I'm always excited to see what they do next. And, you know, they're working directors. I mean, they're like the titans. Like, I love Scorsese. I'll go to any movie that Scorsese does. Yeah. Just because, I mean, it's fucking Scorsese.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It's just the name attached to it at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it. Even if it's not that great, I mean, it's Scorsese. Like, it's like going, it's like going and watch, just like hearing like a seminar through visuals and audio.
Yeah. It could be like a, it could be about a grocery store bag boy. And
yeah, it would still be compelling as fuck because it's Scorsese.
Exactly. Are you a big Paul Thomas Anderson fan?
I like what he does. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff, but I think he does a very good job of cinematic language. He has a very thorough understanding of cinematic language and a very good understanding of, like, just how film is unique from other mediums, especially in just regards to just human storytelling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he's, you know, I haven't seen a lot of what he does, but from what I've seen, I'm really impressed.
Okay. Are you more of a film or digital guy? They don't have a whole lot of film on this campus today.
Yeah, they don't.
Not a whole lot of opportunity for it.
Honestly, what digital has done is, I believe, from what I understand, digital has opened up for a lot more people to get involved with filmmaking. But film, it does, there's kind of a weird saying that it looks a little bit better than digital. And I do like how film is just kind of, you know, has become like the go-to for, like, you know, classicness. So I think there are benefits to both, but if it gets more talented people in and it doesn't require as much, like, intense funding, I'm going to go with digital. Like, all the stuff in the Grip House and whatever, that would not be possible 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah. Film school is, like, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm not a film student. I understand the basis of film. I used to work in the cage.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand the bare minimum, but, yeah, I can definitely understand how it wouldn't be possible 10 years ago. It is only September, almost October. Obviously, probably some of the best movies of the year haven't come out yet. But do you have early Oscar favorites?
Honestly, I'm not too much of an Oscars guy. But what I'm going to predict, I haven't seen this movie yet, but I'm going to predict
Are you more of a Golden Globes guy? Is that, not an Oscar guy?
I find the Oscars to be a fun watching experience, but not something I really invest myself in that much. I would say, let's see. I'm gonna hope that just based on the movie, like, I'm just gonna hope that Gone Girl does really well because, you know, David Fincher has directed an Academy Award winning works before with The Social Network, Zodiac, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like my hope. I'm guessing though that that Boyhood is gonna just gobble up all the Oscars.
I mean, but Boyhood was released so early in the year. Do you think it'll have the staying power that it deserves?
I believe it will, yes. I believe it just because it was, like, it's such kind of a phenomenon, and it's, like, you know, this 12-year project that I've actually been following for a good 5 years now. I haven't been able to see the movie, but, like, just based on, you know, the pedigree and how critics have just gushed over it, I believe it's going to do a very, very well at the Oscars.
Richard Linklater hasn't won an Oscar yet.
Oh, really?
I don't think he has. I mean, his list of movies are all fairly indie. None of them.
I like Dazed and Confused, and I love School of Rock. So, I mean, I have no problem against the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this might be his, like, big. You know, this is like this 12-year experiment that I think will totally pay off. Totally.
Okay. So moving out of the screen, next one's going to be October 9th. It's going to be Godzilla. We had Max Mariner here to talk with us. Thank you so much, Max.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Any last words for anybody out there?
Keep watching, keep making, keep doing the art that you love doing, and never stop. Please, please. The world needs more of your art.
Okay, that was Max Mariner here to talk to us about a little bit of movies. Next week on this podcast, we have Javaris and Lamar, famed cornerback of the East College team, about to enter his pro day for the NFL.
Very exciting time. It's he's got a lot of talent. I think he's going places.
Yeah, with a 4.440 and 6-inch vertical, I'm really excited with where he's going to go. Probably going to end up in the Cowboys. Probably going to be a pretty shitty team. But
no surprise.
No surprise. That is the end of the Swadcast. I'd like to thank Max Mariner. I'd like to thank my co-host here, Chris.
Cut that out.
Alrighty. So, yeah, join us next week.
Have a good week.